appreciate your prayers and your attention for a little while. I've got some things to say. There's no other book in the world like the Bible, written over the course of 4,000 years or so, and amazingly coordinated with itself across that span of time. There's nothing else like it. The writings of the Hindus, they were written over a long period of time like that, but they just contradict each other every kind of way. People who lived 500 years after folks who wrote ahead of them, they had a whole different view of life. The Bible's not like that. I can offer you an example of it this evening. I have a passage of scripture from the 31st chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote during the reign. He was under several kings. He reigned. He prophesied for over 50 years. But this particular part of what he wrote was during the reign of Hezekiah. And the remarkable thing, one of them, about Hezekiah's reign, he had several incidents in his life too. He's the one who had some years added to his life. But it was the attack of Sennacherib that was kind of one of the major features of his life. And it was a pretty dangerous situation. Army of 200,000 people or so gathered together against Israel. They didn't have that kind of soldiers or population, and just conquered one city after another. And every time they did, they sent their message of defiance. The last city's gods didn't protect them, and your gods won't protect you either. And Hezekiah, when that message came to him, you remember the story, he felt the weight of it. And instead of rising up in his own spirit, he took the letter that Rabshakeh brought to him into the temple, a scroll, spread it out there before the Lord, and said, "In my language, Lord, you read it. They're not saying this against me, they're saying this against you. This is your temple, these are your people. It's up to you to defend it." Well, God answered them through the prophet. And, of course, the remainder of the story is people have been wondering for centuries how this happened. The angel of the Lord went out in one night and destroyed 180,000 people. Some have said there was a plague that came on them. There are diseases that act that fast. And what other means, nobody knows for sure. What we do know is that inside the city, it was a peaceful night of sleep. And on the outside, it was a night of destruction. And the message is that God has a way of keeping his own.
Yes.
That's what I want to try to give to you this evening by the Lord's help from the scriptures. I want to encourage your faith. I want to comfort your spirit. God has preserved his church in the world all these years, and he still will preserve it. There's a lot of negative forces out there today trying to destroy our ability to have faith in God, believe the Bible, practice our religion the way we believe the Lord wants us to. A lot of forces are laid against that. There's nothing new in that. The old devil's been trying that for centuries. He never succeeded yet, and he won't succeed this time. And as always, if you read these scriptures, what you find is that God does the heavy lifting. The part that the people have to do, and there's almost always a part for the people, is something that they can do. See, Sennacherib came up against Jerusalem, surrounded it, 180,000 people. The Israelites didn't fight a one of them. God was going to take care of the fighting. Sometimes he let them fight, but even then, if they followed him, he had a way of turning things in their favor. Children of Israel were fighting an enemy. Moses kept his hands in the air. As long as he did, they prevailed. I don't know what that means to you, but it means to me when I whack with my sword, the Lord gave it extra strength. And when the other guy swung his sword, he missed. Or his sword broke in two, or something happened. The Egyptians found that out when they tried to cross the Red Sea. The wheels came off their chariots. Bottom of the Red Sea is all right for walking on. It was not too good for chariot wheels, etc. The task of the Israelites that time was not to fight the Egyptians, it was just a walk. They had to walk through the, not even on the mud, they just had to walk on the path between the water. And the task this time, when Sennacherib came up, just don't lose your courage. Don't get afraid. Don't give up. That was their big challenge. It's still that way with us. The major thing the devil tries to do with us when trouble comes our way is make us feel like it's too hard and we need to give up. And it's the most amazing thing. I felt it too, of course. But it's still the most amazing thing, because the worst thing you can do is give up.
Yeah.
When you're in trouble, that's when you need the Lord the most. And He's going to be there to try to help you. Well, these verses from the 31st chapter of Isaiah are what the Lord gave Isaiah to say to the Israelites during this difficult time to settle them down. It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of you. Don't panic. Don't listen to what these people are saying. Rabshakeh got as close as he could to the walls of the city, and he had his trumpeters, and he told them, shout over the walls and tell the people, don't let Hezekiah fool you, that your God's going to be able to deliver you. He knew too. What he needed to do was shake up the people. They got excited and upset. That's when it must be at risk. The Lord knew that, and Rabshakeh knew that, and Hezekiah knew that. So the Lord, there is that part they had to do. If they panicked in the face of this, Rabshakeh could have got them. But there's always a part for us to do. But the Lord did everything He could to steady them down. It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of you. That's what His message was. So let me read you this. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, said Isaiah, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds are called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. And then he said this sentence, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver her, and passing over, he will preserve it. And that's where my message is. It's safe for us to take that scripture and apply it to ourselves, because God is a constant. He loves His children now the same as He did then. His word cannot be changed. And the promise of how He preserves them remains the same. So I'm not back there where Sennacherib was. But as you'll see from the way this all connects to what had been given in other places, the promise is an eternal one. And we can take it to ourselves when our adversaries most dangerously come against us. It is given to God's people individually, but because it's given individually, it's also to the whole community. I can say that this way. Every individual Israelite in the city of Jerusalem could pray, Lord, deliver my house. And that's the way we pray, isn't it? When a tornado's coming, when some other disaster is coming, Lord, preserve my house. And He preserved every one of them. But in preserving them, He preserved the whole city. God preserves every one of His Christian children, but in preserving them, He preserves the whole church.
Yeah.
And that's eternal. It'll always be that way. So let's take this scripture apart a little bit and look at it. As birds flying. And the form of the language in the original, it's difficult for translators to get everything that's in there. But the original indicates this, I would say it more like as hymns flying. And it doesn't mean like birds flying across the sky like the geese do, or these starlings and blackbirds that we got on all the power lines around us now. It means like a mother bird who's got a nest of young ones. And you know how they fly? Have you ever seen one of them fly? I used to try to catch them when I was a boy, because when they got a nest on the ground, they flutter and they just go a little ways and stop and act like their wings broken. And it looks like you could run right up there and catch them. And I tried. And they always stay just a little bit ahead of me. I thought, I'm going to catch this bird. And I always stay just a little bit ahead of me until I got far enough away from where the nest was. And that wing healed so fast, all of a sudden that bird took off and he's gone. No way I'm going to catch it. That's what this is talking about. The Lord has ways of delivering His people. He's not really want to be a violent God, although He can do that. But he's got so many ways of deflecting what the enemy's trying to do If you try to put God in a box that he's got to deliver me just this kind of way, you get in trouble. Because he uses the weak things of this earth to confound the mighty. The old snake that's trying to get the bird's little ones and so forth. The mother bird doesn't want to fight him. It's dangerous to do that. But she'll distract him and get him out of the way. Anything that delivers the chickens, that's what he's interested in. The Lord's going to take care of his little chickens. Have you ever seen a baby bird that got out of the nest? I've seen them so small, they're ugly looking things. Don't have any feathers yet, and they don't have their eyes open, and they just look disgusting to me. But you give that, and that bird is just as defenseless as it can be. It can do one thing, and that's hold its head up and open its beak and make a sound, and that's it. Cannot defend itself at all. That's in reality about the way we are in this world. We think sometimes we can do more for ourselves than that. But the truth is, we're really dependent on the Lord.
Yes.
And really it's not hard to find a bird's nest a lot of times because even when they grow up a little bit and those feathers start to grow, if they think the mother's coming around, there's four or five little chickens in the nest, they all are holding their heads up and they're all making as much noise as they can and look like all they are is mouth. Every one of them's got their mouth open waiting for a grasshopper or a worm or something. And the mother bird stays busy all the time. You know, God's natural world generally is not lazy. A mother bird got a hard job. It looked to me like it'd be difficult to catch enough bugs to feed yourself. Birds got voracious appetite. Not only got to feed herself, she's got all those little open beaks down there. So a lot of times mother and dad both flying all day long, catching birds, bugs to bring back to them, and all the time keeping an eye on everything that's going around that nest to protect them. Now what does that remind you of as far as continuity in the scriptures? In that final parting between the king and his beloved, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks? And can't you just see the Lord trying to spread his feathers over the city of Jerusalem? And how that the folks so foolishly pushed him away, not realizing that the Roman eagle was on its way. When the hawk spies little nestlings, little birds down there in a sparrow's nest, that's just what they're looking for. When the Roman eagle got there and the Lord wasn't able to protect them anymore because they'd pushed them away. That's what he told them. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And they fulfilled his prophecy. They did not leave one stone on another in the temple because of the wrong that pushed the Lord away from them. I read that and I say, well, that's bad. And they shouldn't have done that. But it's over 2,000 years ago. I wasn't there and I'm never going to be there. I got my own transaction with Jesus. I don't want to stone his people. I don't want to be killing any prophets. I'd far rather the Lord send me everything he can. If I hear his voice then giving that clucking sound like a chicken does, have you ever heard him do it? And all of a sudden all the little chickens come and gather around her and she spreads those wings out and they all get under there. And they've got a certain noise that they make, and all those little chickens know about that. If I hear the Lord making that kind of noise, some kind of danger out there, I don't want to make a run for it. See, if I can take care of myself, go hide under a leaf or something, I want to go get under his big protecting shelter. That's what he's talking about in this scripture. And I say, he linked it all the way through the Bible. David said something about that sort of thing. In the 91st Psalm, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust his truth, shall be thy shield and buckler. And I want to tell you one old story, maybe to punctuate my little message a bit this evening. There was a sister who told us about years ago, for whatever reason, was walking down a street where she felt threatened, dangerous, and a man started walking behind her and frightened her. Faster she walked, faster he walked. Didn't know what to do. She got that scripture in her mind. And she couldn't quote all of it. But she said suddenly she decided to turn around and face him. And she just said, feathers, feathers, feathers. And the man turned around and started running. The Lord's got some feathers to put over us. You don't even have to know it all. You read about these people here in this city of Jerusalem. They had been faithful sometimes and unfaithful more times. Up and down and up and down. And when Sennacherib got there, there was not a one of them who had any justification to say, we have been so holy and we've lived so close with the covenant you made with us and careful with your law. Lord, you're obligated to step in and support us. Not a one of them was qualified to say that. Hezekiah went in and spread out the roll before the Lord, and he said, in my language, Lord, we need a miracle, and we haven't lived holy enough to deserve it. Have you ever felt that way when you're in trouble? I have. I need you to do something for me. I don't really deserve this. All I got to plead is your mercy. But the Lord didn't look at it like they did. He told his Isaiah, you go tell Rabshakeh, the virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath laughed thee to scorn. The Lord took what their situation was in life. It makes me think that in other scripture that says charity covers a multitude of faults. Well, he did that with them, didn't he? His charity stretched out over all the foolish times that they had, and he had mercy on them. And his language was, I'll put a hook in the nose of that man and take him back where he came from. And that's what happened to Sennacherib. Well, the scripture that I read to you first, above it, because this is a verse of comparisons. He said, as the like as the lion, and the young lion roareth on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he'll not be afraid of their voice. So the picture here is, a lion, it's called a lamb, some other kind of animal, and he's got it, and it's under his paw. And the shepherds come out, and they're going to try to get it away from him. Brother, sister, if a lion is ever dangerous, that's when he is. Protecting his young and when her young and when you're trying to get his prey away from him. They'll fight over me. And he said, I won't be afraid of them. Well, lions are dangerous at a time like that. We ought to fear the wrath of God. The scripture tells us concerning the lion of the tribes of Judah, it's in the 6th chapter of Revelations. Mountains and the rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We believe in the God, love of God. He does love people everywhere in the world, but they can provoke him to the point that his wrath is turned loose. And that's part of his character too. And when people do what Sennacherib did, come up and defy God and his people and try to destroy their way, it's dangerous. I shudder when I see what's going on in our world today. I'll deal in this a little bit. Please be patient with me. Our United States has changed so drastically in my lifetime. It's incredible how much, not just giving up liberty, defying God. Just defying God, anything that's in the Bible, it seems like so much of the country has just turned against it. I don't feel obliged to defend it. If God won't defend his word, I can't do it. But I'll tell you what, it's dangerous to trifle with God that way. The same thing, the same behavior that brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah will bring it again. That's the same God. He'll either deal with people when they get to a certain point, or he'll have to go back and apologize to those old people who got destroyed back there. But he'll never do it. There's a limit to how far people can just turn God's word upside down and disregard it. It makes me shudder and fear. It makes me get down on my face and pray, Lord, I got loved ones out there, and they're not ready. And I know the way this is going. It's going to come to judgment one of these days. Please have mercy on those we love and spare them from the terrible danger that's there. And oh, if ever there was a time when God's people need to live holy standards, it's now. Yeah. We can't afford to turn loose of the pure, innocent salvation the Lord has given us because of the darkness that's in the world. We just can't afford to do it. The scripture said concerning God's people, ye are the light of the world. And that's what he wants us to be. So, he wants us to be sheltered under his protective care. And I'm willing for that, aren't you? Like birds flying. Or it's another way of saying like a hen with her chicks. Or it's another way of saying it like David did in his verse. Cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. And, but it's not all the metaphor that he had in this little verse. It's like the Lord was so anxious to comfort these people, he just crowded a whole bunch in this one little verse. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. And passing over, he will preserve it. And the word that's translated defend is translated from a word that means shield. So he's not only going to be like a hen, he's going to be like a shield. Have you ever seen those shields that the Romans had? They covered you from up here down to here. There's some mystery in it, because it talks about a burnished shield. Solomon had golden shields in the temple that he built. They were highly polished. They were brilliant to look at. We sing a song in our hymnal. I think it's number 316. Take the shield of faith, my brother, it says, and its awful burnished glory will put every foe to flight. Well, Archimedes, he's a Greek scientist. And then the same Romans were coming to attack the city where he lived. Athens, was it? They were coming to attack. And they far outnumbered the soldiers in that city. So Archimedes designed shields of copper. 12 feet tall. That's pretty tall. Those were not made for fighting. And they made them in a special way. Shields are always made like this. So when the enemy hits it, it'll divert them. But these were made concave in face, and they were covered with copper, and they were so high that it's all one man could do to lift one. And he told them, now the Romans are coming in boats. You get down there on the beach and you do exactly what I tell you. And he set them up where they made a row of shields and made something like this, and the men behind them all down here. And of course what he was doing, he caught the sun's rays. And he focused them on those Roman ships. Have you ever taken a magnifying glass and held it up and caught the light? You can burn your hand that way. He set their ships on fire while they were still out there in the water. And they were full of men with armor on them, and they went right straight to the bottom. And not much they could do about it. And he had them under command. When you get this one taken care of, turn just a little bit, focus that on the next ship, and so forth. There's something about the shield of faith that's like that. It's a burnished shield. It's got a brilliant light about it that sets things on fire. And it blinds the enemy. The enemy doesn't know what to do, I would just say, with the shield of faith. It's a preserving shield. So the Lord said concerning this, and he repeated it twice in this verse. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. So he intended to take our faith and make a blinding light out of it that defeats all the fiery darts of the wicked. But I'm glad for this shield of faith to quench them. See, that all links together. Paul, 700 years later, he got the same idea because of the same God. And that's why it's safe for you and me to get the same idea today. Take the shield of faith, my brother. You'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's a blinding, brilliant light that the devil can't see through. Our faith is that way. These guys behind it, they didn't know what was going on. The shield was too high. They couldn't see around it. They had to trust Archimedes. I suppose after a while they could smell the smoke a little bit and know this is doing something. It must have felt to them like we're about to get overcome. This is the stupidest thing we could do. We ought to put these down and get the shields we're used to using and try to meet them at the water's edge and stop them that way. And you know, that's where we'll leave our bones. But instead, they let somebody else guide them who knew more about it. Brother, sister, you and me, let somebody else guide it who knows more about it. He will take the little bit of faith that we've got and focus it on the enemy and prevent him from destroying our souls. In defending, he said, I will defend it. I'll put my big shield over it. I'll take these people's little bit of faith. Their testimony is it's time for us to have a baby and we're not strong enough to do it. That's what Hezekiah actually told the Lord. But the Lord said, I'll put my hand on that and it's strong enough so there won't be anybody want to touch it. Not only will Sennacherib do it, I'm going to fix it so everybody else is afraid to try for a while too. You lose 180,000 men in one battle, and nobody knows what happened to them. And then that makes the next king who's wanting to come over there and get in a battle with you with his little 60,000 or something like that. He's going to stop and think that over for a little while, don't you see? The Lord's got a way of defending us that'll rock the enemy back on his heels if we let him. So this is the second metaphor that's in this one verse. The first one is like a hen gathers her chickens. Hawks flying overhead, shelter underneath. The second is he'll defend it. And then he said, passing over it, he will preserve it. There again, that passing over is the same word that was used in Egypt that night when they said the death angel's coming. And he gave the Jews their Passover. And doesn't that have a meaning down here to us today? On the outside is the lion. You're going to try to take his prey away from his prey. What it's referring to properly is the devil trying to take you and me out of the Lord's hands.
Yes.
And you got a bunch of shepherds out there, and they're all yelling at the lion and throwing rocks at him. All they do is make him more angry. You're not taking that prey that he's got under his hand. You and I belong to the greatest power that there possibly is when we serve the Lord.
Amen.
And he's got his paw on us. And it's dangerous for anything to come and try to take away. That's what Pharaoh tried to do. I'll whip them into submission, these unruly slaves. I'll make them behave themselves. First tried the business of making bricks without any straw. And then he sent his guys with the whips among them and break their spirit. But you can't break God's spirit.
Amen.
So he sent a man down there, and that man, his rod turned into a snake. And when he picked it up again and stretched it out over the water, it turned to blood. And when he stretched it out another time, the land was filled with frogs. And everybody had frogs in their ovens and frogs in their houses and frogs in their beds and frogs in their chariots. And nobody can get along with frogs all over everywhere. And people are equipped to fight other soldiers. How do you fight frogs and to get everywhere? God's got ways of taking the little things of this earth to confound the mighty.
Yes.
And when they just kept on pressing it and kept on pressing it, I don't think Pharaoh had to do that. But he kept on pressing it until the Lord said, all right, here's where the dividing line is. I've had enough. Oh, I shudder. When's he going to say that to this world? I've had enough. Now kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. And whatever you do, you stay on that side of the doorpost. It's going to be a bad night. You're going to hear your neighbors crying. And they're going to be over here in a little while begging you to leave. Stay behind these doorposts till I tell you to go. That's what he said to them. You and I need to stay, I'll just put it bluntly, we need to stay within the faith that's in God's church.
Yes.
We need to stay in a holy experience of clean salvation.
Yes.
We need to give ourselves to worshiping the Lord. Don't pay any attention to what's going on in the world around us. We got one set of commandments. Eat this feast with unleavened bread, standing up, ready to make a journey. He's telling us, live in this world without allowing the spirits and the darkness and the things that are out there to seep over into your life.
Yes.
Just don't do it. Don't be leavened up with what's in this world. Eat this lamb. Eat the blood of Christ. Drink his blood, he said, and eat his flesh. That means to read the Bible and understand what it says. All the world's down on the Bible today, and I think I'd rather have the Bible than the world. It's helped me a whole lot more than the world has. We need to stay with what's in the Word of God. We need to eat his Word, and we need to drink the Spirit in which it was given. And we need to stay sheltered under the blood of Christ. Any part of our lives where we have failure, where we have need, whatever our situation is, quick and ready to bring it to the Lord, entreating him for his blood, for his mercy. Outside, there is a death angel. And that's a lion. And that's what's, well, how could it be any other way? That's what's headed toward our world today. So that's my little message this evening. I thank you for the courtesy of your attention. I will add this one thing more to it. The Lord wants us to understand, in the troubles we face in this life, the hardest ones that come our way, when we stay behind the doorposts, everything that comes our way has got written on it, in tenderest love from the Heavenly Father to His children. It may hurt. It may disappoint. Adam brought that on us. It intended to be that way, but it becomes that way. He will use what seems to harm me for everlasting good. The Lord intends to turn our sorrow to joy. Out of the greatest sorrow, we will find the greatest blessing, the greatest strength. So when it comes your way, Lord, give us courage and strength to persevere through it. So on the other side, weeping endureth for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's the eternal pledge of the Scripture, and we'll find it to be so. Thank you for your attention this evening. Amen.